Make a noise. Oh, wake up, everybody. That's something I didn't do today. Oh, been there, done that. Alarm went off. That meant nothing to me today. Nothing. Good morning.
Good morning.
Announcements today. You should all have this lovely piece of paper that says Psalm 136. That will be our scripture reading today instead of what will be up on the screen. Worship on the Mountain is coming soon, and you'll hear more about that soon from Belle. And let's see, tomorrow at 2, the Circle of Caring meets, and tomorrow at 6:30, the elders are meeting. And that's all we need to point out. Today we have Sydney and Jim Oliver with us for special music. There they are. Hi. Thanks for being with us. Any other announcements? Well, let's begin our worship service this morning with the prelude. Thank you, Arlen. Will you please stand and join me in the call to worship? What shall we return to the Lord for all the Lord's bounty to us?
We will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Our first hymn this morning is All People That on Earth Do Dwell. It's a tune you know, so the words will be on the screen.
Divide in God who's praise.
Let us pray. Great and glorious God, thank you for the great country we live in, a country whose motto is "In God We Trust." We thank you for the brave men and women who fight to keep us safe and to protect our freedoms. Please guard and protect them. We know you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are above all rulers and principalities. Let us draw near to you and seek your guidance for all the decisions, big and small, we face in our daily lives. Grant us the wisdom to follow Christ's admonition to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what belongs to God. Please hear us as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Be seated. And our special music today is Jim and Sydney Oliver. Thank you again for being with us.
Oh, we're starting already?
Seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes are wrath the stored. He loses faithful lightning of his terrible Swiss sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. He died to make men holy, let us live to make men free while God is marching on. Hey! Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His marching on. Mm-hmm. seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is tramping out the vintage where the grapes are rather stored. He loosed his faithful lightning of his terrible Swiss sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. His truth is marching on.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's right. Okay, who does the best Elvis impression? Ooh, we gotta have a contest. Ooh. We need this pandemic to be over now. Now. Oh. So, as we come to our joys and concerns this morning, laughter is a joy. Ah, oh, goodness. Goodness me. Paul, you have a joy, a blessing. Paul can see better. The screen's better. So that's good. And I have a correction to make. I was going to do this last week. A couple of weeks ago, I had mentioned that... Actually, this wasn't even written down, but I don't know why I blurted this out, that Ephraim was the son of, I said Jacob, right? Yeah. Yes, and that was incorrect. Ephraim was the son of Joseph, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Paul let me know that on the way out, and he was correct. So I wanted to make sure I corrected that. Prayer concerns, yes. Raylan Heck has been in the hospital this week. He is at home now. He's had an infection from some unknown source, but he's doing better and he is home resting now. Larry Winders had outpatient surgery this week and he is at home. Are there other joys and concerns to share this morning? Yes, Jan.
Mm-hmm. He's not married, and he has two sisters. He's living on our property because he didn't have anywhere to live. He has a trailer and a car.
Mm-hmm.
Dan was wondering, Dan talked to him about a month ago, and Dan had to call the sheriff because they found him dead in a trailer on our property.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, Dan, an employee of Dan's who's been living on his property died this week, and so,
yeah. But,
yeah, okay, yeah. Anybody else? Oh, Arlen got a house.
Yep.
Arlen found a house, and that's a huge joy. Hey, where is it?
PB.
Yeah?
Poppy Street.
All right, yay. All right, that's good news. Did y'all have a good weekend? Yeah? How many people had watermelon? Anybody smash it? No, okay. Well, I cut mine up. I want to know if Mackenzie Grooms got to smash her watermelon. That's the big question. Has anybody talked to Cal this week? Anybody got news on Cal? We need to remember Cal and Monica as well. So, and Mike has a PET scan this week, and that will determine what they do moving forward in his treatment. Let's join together in prayer. Merciful and ever-present God, you have asked us to become partners in your care for your people and your world. And so this day we lift to you our prayers for all of these joys and concerns that have been spoken and for those that are unspoken, trusting in your great love. We offer them to you in just a moment of silence. And for ourselves this day, O God, we pray that you would make us instruments of your peace, that where there is hatred, we would sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born again to everlasting life. Amen. Amen.
When Jesus met with his disciples on the night he was betrayed, they met in a room that waited just for them. They ate the meal we are preparing to celebrate, and they sang a hymn and went to the Mount of Olives. They probably sang all or parts of Psalms 115 through 118 that are traditionally sang at Passover. These psalms praise God. It's the main theme. It compares his present help to the two idols who cannot help at all. He tells of God's great deeds, and it thanks God for his loving kindness. Jesus shares this table with everyone. All are invited to join. The table of God for the people of God. It's me. On the night he broke bread, that part?
No, the hymn.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, the hymn. Please join me in "All Who Hunger, Gather Gladly." The words will be on the screen.
Thank you.
The night before he died, Jesus sat down to eat with his friends. And while they were eating, he took a loaf of bread. He broke it, he blessed it, and he gave it to them, and he said, "This is my body given for you. As often as you eat this, do this in memory of me." And after supper, he took a cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, which is for you. Every time you drink this, remember me."
Dear gracious God, thank you we can join with you in this special moment. May the love you give us fill us so completely, it spills out to everyone around us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord gives freely to all of us. He provides for our needs, and he gives us talents and gifts to share. And he gives us the fruit of the Spirit to bless all of God's people. I encourage you to give of your talents, times, and financial resources. The deacons will wait upon us for offerings. Thank you. Dear God, thank you that you are our shield and our portion. Please take these gifts as a token of our love for you. We trust you will use them to show your great mercy to all mankind. Amen.
Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is this lovely little piece of paper instead of those up there, up on the screen. Psalm 136 is what we call a salvation history psalm. It's one of the shorter ones of the salvation history psalms, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But can you tell the difference between the bold and the not bold? Good, because the bold we're all going to read together, and then I'll read the not bold stuff. And this was used in worship in ancient Israel. All right? So, let's start together. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who alone does great wonders,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
Who by understanding made the heavens,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth on the waters,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
Who made the great lights,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
The sun to rule over the day, the moon and stars to rule over the night,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
Who struck Egypt through their firstborn,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
With a strong hand and an outstretched arm,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
Who divided the Red Sea in two, and made Israel pass through the midst of it,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
Who led his people through the wilderness,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
Who struck down great kings,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
And killed famous kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
And gave their land as a heritage,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
A heritage to his servant Israel,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
It is he who remembered us in our low estate, and rescued us from our foes,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
Who gives food to all flesh,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. All right, thank you. So, about one-third of the Old Testament is written in poetry, and a good chunk of that poetry is found in the Psalms. The Book of Psalms is a collection that was assembled over a period of several centuries, and it's made up of prayers, poems, hymns, and songs, and, as you just read, responsive readings. Some are the words of individuals, and others are the words of the community. And the primary place that these ancient words were used was in the temple during worship. The temple was the dwelling place of God, and so to be in the temple was to be near God It was to be in the presence of God. And so the Psalms speak about our longings for God's presence. Like Psalm 27, "The one thing I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in God's temple." As the community gathered to worship the Lord, Yahweh, its book of worship, like our black book I held up last week before, its worship book was the Psalter, the book of Psalms. Like our hymnal and our book of worship, the Psalter is made up of several different types of songs, poems, hymns, prayers that were used on different occasions. So, one type was they used for holidays. Their holidays were called festivals. And ancient Israel had three main festivals. They were annual pilgrimages that they made to the temple. So the first one was Passover, the festival of the unleavened bread, which remembered the Exodus. It was during the barley harvest in the spring. The second one was Shavuot. We would call it Pentecost. It was about 50 days after Passover. It celebrated the giving of the Torah, the giving of the law to Moses. And it was during the wheat harvest, during early summer. And the third one was called Sukkot, or Tabernacles, In-Gathering, Festival of Booths. It remembered how they lived in the wilderness, in temporary dwellings, in temporary booths. Today, when they still celebrate this festival, families make booths, temporary dwellings in their backyards. They cover they make them out of all sorts of things, but they cover the top in plant materials. And families today, during this festival, they will eat their meals outside in this tent, tabernacle that they make. Some people will sleep outside. It's a really big festival still today. And it is during the grape and olive harvest. It's an agricultural community, agricultural people. And it is during the fall. I think it's after the High Holy Days, so I think this one's in October now. Anyway, the songs in your Bible, these psalms, you might find a label called Song of Ascents. And they were sung by pilgrims on their way up to Jerusalem. Song of Ascent, to ascent, ascend. Everybody, Jerusalem's on a hill. So you're singing your way up to Jerusalem. So they're songs of ascent. That's why. "I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where will my help come? Not from the mountains that the Mother Superior tells us in The Sound of Music." She got that a little bit wrong. "But my help comes from the Lord, from God, who is in the temple in Jerusalem. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem.'" And then there are royal psalms. These were written not about God, but about or by the reigning king of Israel. And they talk about the ideal king, like David. "Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor." That was the ideal king. Songs of trust express confidence in the nearness and in the saving power of God. And these psalms may be the most familiar and the most comforting ones to us. You have any idea what some of these psalms might be? You be quiet, Belle. Any idea? You're right. Whatever you're going to say is right. Yes. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my light and my salvation. For God alone my soul waits in silence. Thy steadfast love is better than life. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. These we know, these we turn to when we need to be comforted because we trust God and they comfort our soul. And then there are songs of thanksgiving and hymns of praise. Songs of thanksgiving arise in response to God's gracious saving deeds. God has delivered us from our distress, and so we acknowledge and proclaim God's goodness in the company of the faithful in worship. God has heard me and seen me in my sorrow, and God has pulled me out of the pit of my own despair, and so in worship I sing a song of thanks. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. You ever thought about that? Being clothed with joy. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And the hymns of praise lift up God's greatness as the Creator and as the Lord of history. In these hymns, the glory of God's work in creation and in history is told. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. And in Psalm 98, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for God has done marvelous things. And that leads us to the salvation history psalms, the big five. Some of the longest psalms in the Bible. Does anybody know what the longest psalm is?
119.
Yeah, you know how many verses are in it? It's like 176. There are dissertations written about that one psalm. I had a friend, Lisa Davidson, who teaches at Phillips Seminary. Her dissertation was on Psalm 119, just Psalm 119. Anybody ever read it? You're ahead of me. The Salvation History Psalms, Psalm 78, 105, 106, 135, and 136 that we read together just a little bit ago. These are those that recount God's saving acts, God's acts of salvation throughout the history of ancient Israel. For the people of Israel, these psalms were a tool for teaching, a way of passing on the tradition, the story of who we are as a people, the people of God, from one generation to another. Bernard Anderson says, these psalms retell the story of the people of God to show God's faithfulness, even when God's people have erred and strayed from God's ways. The Salvation History Psalms keep the story alive so that each generation finds and knows its own place in the larger story of God's relationship with his people. Call and response, like we did this morning, is a way of teaching who we are and who God is in relationship. It teaches the story in the context of worship, from creation to Egypt, to liberation, from wilderness wanderings to the promised land, from the shepherd boy to the king of Israel, from exile to return. The story is recited in worship, and the community, each generation, becomes a part of the whole sweeping narrative. This is how God saved us. This is how God rescued us. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. That is the constant refrain throughout these psalms. God's steadfast love endures forever. For ancient Israel, the past is laid out not behind them, but ahead of them, so that they are able to see who they are and who God is. Because we know how God acted in the past, we are certain God is at work now in the present, and so we trust God will continue to act in our future. But what about those times when God is silent? What about those times when we wonder if God has left us? What about those times of suffering and sorrow, those times of despair and anger, when we feel that God has left us on our own? What about those times when we think that the actions of God are cruel beyond measure? What about then? More than a third of the Psalms are words of lament. And again, Bernard Anderson refers to the laments as murmurings in the absence of God. In these Psalms of lament, we hear honest voices speaking to God. We hear complaint and bitterness and grief and despair and guilt, all voiced out loud and directed straight into the face of God. There is no human emotion that God has not heard in the voice of the psalmist. The deepest depths of suffering and shame, raw anger, fear and doubt, even the desire to do violence to the other, are all voiced directly to God in the Psalms. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? O Lord, where is your steadfast love of old? Psalm 22 is the lament that most of us at least know the first line of. In the Gospel of Matthew, the first words of this lament are spoken by Jesus as he cries out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Have you ever felt that? That complete God-forsakenness that Jesus felt? That absolute abandonment that the psalmist felt. You know, we try to make that pretty in our art and our images and songs of Jesus, you know, but there's nothing pretty about feeling abandoned and forsaken by God. There's nothing pretty at all about being left to die by the one who's supposed to love you the best. And we could never admit to that. You know, thinking, you know, that might mean that there's something wrong with us, and we wouldn't dare bring that into our sacred spaces. My God, somebody might see that and know the broken places within us, and not that there are, you know. There's nothing broken. about me. But the psalmist did, you see. The psalmist brought his whole self into worship, and I don't think shame was in his vocabulary at all. The psalmist brought his whole self, his whole honest self. The psalmist brought even the impossible places within himself into the very presence of God in worship. And Jesus did the same thing. Here in the dwelling place of God, into the sanctuary, into the worship, we bring the truth of ourselves and the cries of our souls, "Oh my God, where are you? I am hurt, and I am angry, and I am bitter. And I don't believe you, and I can't find you. I am scared, I am bruised, I am shattered. I am completely and utterly broken. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, hear my voice." But we don't do that. Instead, it seems to me, what we do when we are hurt, when we are suffering, we bring the cause of that and we lay that on God. God is the cause of what has made us suffer. Traffic accident, well, it was their time. No matter how bad that hurts, it was their time. My child has just been killed by a car wreck, in a car wreck. Well, it was their time. Which means God did that. I will never be whole again. We lay that at God's feet. Instead of bringing my suffering into the sanctuary and saying, "I will never be whole again," and laying myself into God's hands like the psalmist does. That is what the psalmist does. That is what Jesus does. We forget blame. We bring ourselves to worship and lay ourselves with our suffering, our bitterness, and our anger into God's hands, just as we are. That lament that Jesus cries out from the cross, you know how it ends? Anybody know how that ends? Y'all ought to read it. It begins in the deepest agony of God-forsakenness. And then the psalmist remembers God was the one who pulled me from the womb. God was the one who was with me when I was a child. God was the one. God was there. And into the community, the psalmist goes and says, God is the one who has delivered me from the horns of the wild oxen. You have rescued me. I will tell of your name to my brothers and my sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. For God did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. God did not hide his face from me, but heard me when I cried to him. And all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. Begins as lament and agony, ends up in the community as praise and thanksgiving to God. Athanasius was right. In the book of Psalms, there is nothing to be found in human life that is omitted. We have much to learn from the psalmist. God's claim upon the whole world is here, as is our claim upon God. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From God comes my salvation. God alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall never be shaken. And even when I am shaken, into the community of faith we come and lean on the rock of our salvation. Let us pray. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So our closing hymn is a psalm, and it's a happy psalm. It's "This Is the Day." Would you stand up? We'll sing it twice, please. Elders, don't forget you have a meeting tomorrow at 6:30. Be there, be square. And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as you go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.